A very nice four games on a Thursday night. Much simpler, much easier to get through than last night. We got some stuff to talk about. The Paolo Banchero injury is obviously the big one. Some big performances as well. It is Halloween, not here. It is Halloween over there, 31st of October. This is the post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King, your host. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us at FBI Basketball. And we are also on the Old Man Squad Network. Follow them on Twitter at Old Man Squad. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter. Please like, rate, subscribe. Again, if you are watching on Twitter, which I know a lot of people do, and that's why I do these live shows, if you could head over to YouTube and subscribe and thumbs up, all that stuff. Really appreciated. Yeah, look, much simpler tonight. Only four games to go through. A little bit of injury news at the top as well. And then I thought, just to fill a bit of time at the back end of the show, I thought I might go through the early season stat leaders, which I know is easy to find if you want to do it. But I just thought we'd talk about who's leading those major categories at the moment and if it's sustainable, who might be a dark horse to be, for example, the leading rebounder or the leading shot blocker? Well, shot blocker, I think we know who it's probably going to be. But, yeah, I thought that might be interesting. So let's start with the injury news. Obviously the big one here is Paolo Banchero. So we got word, feel like it was before the games, maybe one of the early games had started, but we did get word that he is out with a torn oblique, so he will miss 4 to 6 weeks is what they've said. Now this is a relatively significant injury, so 4 weeks is the bare minimum. I'm thinking it could be a little bit longer. It really just depends. But yeah, you're looking at 15 to 20 games, I guess, which is far from ideal if you have him. If you do have him, I wouldn't drop him. If at all possible, try and move him to your IR spot. And this is why we sort of advocate for leagues having multiple IR spots. Certainly worthwhile in a situation like this. Who steps up? I guess that's what we want to figure out. What's the rotation going to look like here? I think the Magic could go a few ways. They could move Anthony Black into the starting lineup. He has looked really good this season. So either he or Gary Harris could move in and play as a guard, and they sort of shift everyone up, and KCP plays as that, I guess, default small forward. Franz moves to the power forward spot. So that is one option. If they are looking at just doing a direct swap and getting someone in to play the power forward spot, it's ideally it'd be Jonathan Isaac, but I just don't think that they're confident that they can give him close to starters minutes. Mo Wagner, maybe he can play the four theoretically. He can stretch the floor as well. So, but defensively, that would not be wise, I wouldn't think. So, yeah, let's wait and see. I think Black probably gets a boost no matter what. He was 14-team relevant. He might move into being standard league relevant. And if you want to just take a flyer on him, you can. Gary Harris, as I said, another option, but I probably wouldn't be adding him. He's pretty limited at this point. Mo Wagner, Jonathan Isaac also probably worth grabbing just to see what they do there. And I guess if they are going to go with Mo Wagner at the four, which it's probably unlikely, but if they were to do that, then someone like a Goga Badadze might get a bump because he would have to then play backup center minutes So let's see. Yeah, I certainly don't think it's a one for one here where we're picking up one player and everyone's got to go and chase that one player. Some other injuries that we had. CJ McCollum out again tomorrow, I believe, for the Pelicans, as is Herb Jones. They play the Pacers, I'm pretty sure. Mark Williams out, no surprise. DeAndre Hunter remains out as well. So Atlanta, all that streaming value, Zachary Risache, David Roddy. So plenty there, but we have a few games on the slate tomorrow. So your roster could be full. So just check. Zach LaVine is questionable. So just keep an eye on his availability for tomorrow. And if we keep going through the list here, so I've said, Desmond Bain missed today. So we don't have any update on the Bain or the Smart injuries. They had some tests and scans and things done, but still waiting on the severity of those. Lauri Markkanen missed tonight's game. Look, they're going to be uber cautious with him. He's not going to get pushed at all. I mean, given they're arguably the worst team in the league, and everyone is playing capture the flag, looking at Cooper Flag this year, I don't see any motivation to get him back out there unless he's 100% healthy. So back spasms can be very, very broad, as we saw with Mark Williams last year. Let's hope it doesn't turn into a situation like that. Anthony Davis has popped up as probable. No indication this is serious, but of course we know with Anthony Davis it is something to keep an eye on. The Grizzlies, I mentioned Bane, I mentioned Smart. Conchar also missed. They're already sort of going through some injury battles, which is unfortunate for them, but they had a good win. We will get to their game very shortly. Bradley Beal also sat out on Thursday against the Clippers due to his elbow issue. He was questionable. So, again, I don't think this is a massive red flag or anything here, but frustrating nonetheless. Jordan Clarkson, when we get to the Utah game, he did leave this game right at the end. So it was a late thing. He didn't really miss any playing time as such, but heel pain. And as I said with Markkanen, I don't think there's any incentive to force him to get back out there. So we will see what happens. What happens there? Let's move into the games. And the first game of the night, the Bucks and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies were coming off a pretty ordinary performance, but they get the win comfortably over the Bucks, who continue to look pretty woeful. Giannis, I mean, he looks really good. 37 points, 11 rebounds, a steal, a block. Free throws, yeah, look away, 3 of 8. But we know that's an issue for him. Outside of that, really not a lot to talk about. Torian Prince, I mean, it was a low-volume day, so there could have been some guys you looked at for streaming purposes. I personally streamed in Torian Prince for threes and steals. I got 4 steals, but I only got 1 3. I'll be moving on from him, as you should if you streamed him in as well. Gary Trent, I think he's probably trending towards a drop. If you want to hold him, fine, but... zero upside, basically. Damian Lillard was pathetic. 1 of 12, 0 of 6 from 3, 4 points, 6 assists. Really rough night for the Bucks all around, and has been a really bad start to the season. So, let's just move on. Over to the Grizzlies. A much better reading here if you're a Grizzlies fan or a fantasy fan, because there was a lot of value here. We'll start with the main guys, Ja Morant, triple-double in 29 minutes, 26 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. He almost had a triple-double at halftime. This was just a walkover. So good to see him getting back to his best. Jaren Jackson, 13 and 5, no steals, no blocks. That's sort of what we're watching. But again, given the way this game played out, we're not reading too much into that. And then, I mean, all their other regular starters, Zach Edey, I suppose he's a starter. He's not playing starters minutes, but everyone else is injured. So Edey was okay here. He had 10 and 8 with a steal and a block. That's enough if you're holding him. The 24 minutes are encouraging. It was looking as though they weren't going to play in more than about 18. So let's just keep an eye on what these minutes look like. If he is playing 22 to 24, I think he probably remains a hold. Santi Aldama, up and down, up and down. This was an up game, 19 points, 9 rebounds, a steal. We just hold him until they start getting some guys back. He's going to be inconsistent. Jalen Wells moved into the starting lineup. Another player that I streamed in tonight, he had 16 points with 7 rebounds. Not much else outside of that, but the shooting was good, 3 of 3 from the line. So for a streamer, he did exactly what I wanted him to do. Jake LaRavia had a double-double off the bench, 11 and 10 with 2 steals. Scottie Pippen, 16 points with 1 assist. After those sort of, I think he had back-to-back or two in three games, double-digit assists. This is a reality check here. But I think he's probably still worth rostering with all of these guys out at the moment. And Jay Huff did nothing again, so we aren't holding him. On to the next game, Houston and Dallas, Battle of Texas. The Rockets get the win, 108 to 102. They got out pretty big. Dallas came back, made it at least close enough for the starters to have to play down the stretch. Şengün, looks still... I mean, the numbers are fine, 17 and 12. 4 assists, a block. 7 of 9 from the line is passable, but 5 of 16 from the floor, he's just cooled off after that relatively strong start. So he should be okay. Maybe a bit of a buy low if you are interested in Şengün. Dylan Brooks had 17 points with nothing else. Stream him in for points and threes, nothing else. Jabari Smith, 14 and 6 with very little else. He has had some good games. He's had some poor games. I think he's 12 team, obviously should be rostered, but I'm not as high on him as I probably was a year ago. Fred Van Fleet, we're going to see all the people come out of the woodwork here. 4 points on 2 of 13 shooting with 4 assists, 0 steals. Look, it's a bad game. Let's not beat around the bush. It is a bad game. If you drafted Fred VanVleet, hopefully you were either punting points or able to make up for that category with your other draft picks. He hasn't been great, and potentially a buy low after this game as well. Jalen Green had his 23 points, 12 rebounds. Take that any day of the week. He's been really good, as we know. The two guys off the bench we want to talk about, Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, both played around 18 minutes and both were okay. Tari Eason had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. Amen Thompson had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. So are we holding them? I'm holding Eason in a couple of leagues. They'd either be 12 or 14 team leagues and he fits my build. We want to see 20, 22 minutes. They're very borderline. I think as long as it's tough in this situation because one injury could open the door for both of them to step up to 26 or 27 minutes. Fred Van Fleet, he's had his issues with hamstrings and things like that. Dylan Brooks has had some injuries throughout his career. So I'd be holding if I could, but I certainly wouldn't blame you if you wanted to move on. On to Dallas. PJ Washington, man, he's a weird fantasy player. An odd line, 6 points on 3 of 6 shooting. So, 50%, that's okay. But he missed both his free throws. Terrible. He had 9 rebounds. That's pretty good. 3 steals and 3 blocks. He's weird. I think you hold him, but you really don't know what you're going to get from one night to the next. Klay Thompson, points and threes only. I know he's getting a lot of good looks, but he only had 12 points here with 2 threes and doesn't really do anything else. I don't think he has to be rostered in every situation because he is only helping you in arguably one category. His points production is okay, but streaming would probably get you as much, if not more, value there. Dan Gafford and Derek Lively, each of them only played 15 minutes here. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Doncic, Irving, both looked really good. Yeah, but not really much outside of those guys to talk about. All righty, the Spurs and the Jazz. Yeah, we'll get to Utah in a minute. On the Spurs side of things, we'll start with the elephant in the room, I suppose, Wembanyama. He had been underwhelming, I think, although a lot of that was tied into his lack of shot attempts or his poor percentages. So the offense just didn't look right. Everything else had been okay, but he ended up here with the rare 5x5 line, which he did last year, I believe, and is one of only six players to maybe do it multiple times. I don't know. There was lots of stuff up on Twitter today. Of course there was. I can see a trade question in there from Joe Cook. We'll get to that very shortly. So, yes, Wemby, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals, 5 blocks, 4 threes. If he'd only got to 5 threes, it would have been a 6x5 line. Great. Yep, I doubt very much that he was involved in any transactions or anything like that. So, yeah, you're thrilled if you have Wemby on your team. Sohan cooled off a little bit, but 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block. That gets it done. Every day of the week, he is a clear hold. Harrison Barnes is not. Chris Paul is. He's rounding into a bit of form now. 19 points, 10 assists, 2 steals. The assists and the steals are great. He's sort of getting 7 to 10 in most games now, and the points are a bonus. Outside of those guys, I'm not really interested in anyone. Keldon Johnson can have a bit of value as a point streamer. He had 13 points here, but 3 of 10 shooting, and he does nothing else. So, yeah, I'm not really too interested in him at all. On to Utah. As I said, probably the worst team in the league at the moment. Brooklyn, Washington, these other teams that we thought would be bad or at least competing and getting the odd victory. Utah just aren't even close at the moment. Cody Williams, he started again and had 2 points. No need to be rostering him. There's other guys I prefer here on this team, one of them being Kyle Filipowski, who only played 20 minutes but had 12 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist. Jordan Clarkson, as I said, he started, played 21 minutes, but did hurt his heel at the end of the game. So keep an eye on that, because if he cannot play in the next game, maybe we get Colin Sexton back in the starting lineup. Speaking of Sexton, 16 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, 5 of 11 from the field, perfect from the free throw line. He was pretty good. 25 minutes, it's still nowhere near what we wanted from him coming into the season, but it's a step in the right direction. So, yeah, we'll see if this actually translates into him being a better option moving forward. John Collins, 14 and 11. With a steal and a block in 28 minutes off the bench. So, yeah, needs to be rostered. Bryce Sensabaugh, who was another guy who was sort of on that radar as a flyer, he only had 5 points in his 15 minutes. I guess we go with Filipowski over him just because he's starting and playing more minutes. But given how bad this roster looks, the minutes could change drastically from one night to the next. I mean, we got 13 minutes of Johnny Juzang, so that's where we are with Utah. All righty, on to the final game, Phoenix and the Clippers. Clippers were up in this one for a lot of the game, and then Phoenix came back late, taking the win 125 to 119. For the Suns, it was Devin Booker's night. He had 40 points, 8 assists, 3 steals, 11 of 18. He does this from time to time. We know he has these explosions, so really good to see. And lucky that he did, because he didn't have a ton of support from the starters. Durant was fine. Nurkic was better, at least. Tyus Jones had his 11 assists, no steals, but love the assists. Ryan Dunn, who started for Bradley Beal, he had 16 points with not much else. You stream him in when they've got an injury, and then you send him back to waivers. And we had a Royce O'Neal sighting, 21 points off the bench with a steal, 7 rebounds. Again, more to do with the fact that Beal was out here and he was playing really well. We haven't seen any indication that he is going to be a 12-team guy moving forward. And on to the Clippers. Another really good James Harden game. 25, 10, and 13. Six turnovers, but you take what you get with Harden. He also had two steals and a block. Zubats, he was back to his first week form, 22 and 12, with a steal in his 36 minutes. As I said yesterday, I think he'll be just fine. Derek Jones is probably, I think he probably needs to be added in standard leagues. Only 24 minutes here, but he was in foul trouble early. He ended up with five fouls, but he had 11 points, three rebounds, two assists, three steals. He's hitting the odd three. He's good from the free throw line. So as long as Kawhi's out, I think Derek Jones is a roster. Norm Powell, clear roster anyway. He had another good offensive game, getting 23 points. Doesn't get a lot else. He will chip in a steal here and there, which he did, as well as four threes. So, yeah, pretty good outing for him. Kevin Porter, who was pretty good yesterday, he had another serviceable game, 14 points, five rebounds, two assists and a block, but still only 17 minutes. That's not enough for him to be a sustainable asset. Chris Dunn, the minutes are okay, 24 of them, but 6 points, not a lot else, no defensive stuff. So other than streaming, I think he is probably someone we can move on from. And Kai Jones, after he had a pretty good game yesterday. He only played 10 minutes here and failed to score. All right, let's jump out of those games and bring up these questions, which I haven't read yet. Joe Cook offered a buddy a trade of me giving him Miles Bridges for Jalen Green since I'm forward heavy and lack shooting in a points league. Yes. If you are getting Jalen Green for Miles Bridges, I would absolutely do that. I think based on what we've seen, obviously I can't say what's going to happen in 2 months, but I think of the two teams, the Rockets are more likely to be pushing for the playoffs than the Hornets, which would mean Jalen Green is less likely to get benched. Miles Bridges has struggled and he hasn't even had Brandon Miller there or Mark Williams. Not that Mark Williams is a huge impact on him, but I think Bridges has been a bit underwhelming. Jalen Green looks like, especially in a points league, he's going to get his every night. So I would certainly go with that. And Jack, appreciate you. Handsome. I'm not sure I'm handsome. Well, I know I'm not handsome, but thank you, Jack Hoffman. On to the category leaders, as I said. So this is as of tonight, now, this afternoon. As I said, very easy for you to find. If you just go into Basketball Monster and have a look at the player rankings and sort, that's all I'm doing. Jokic leading the league in scoring, which is probably something he actually doesn't want to do, but he's being forced to do it at the moment with 31.5 points. So I don't see him sticking there. But then we've got Maxey, Anthony Davis, Giannis, Jason Tatum. So regular, normal guys who are in this discussion. Anthony Davis is interesting. I do think, as I've said multiple times, that LeBron is looking to defer a little bit more and they're trying to get Anthony Davis as the head of the snake. And this would indicate that might be happening. It's a very small sample size. It's only five games, but love to see it. Paolo Banchero is seventh in scoring, so that's a shame. He's had a red-hot start to the season. We've got LaMelo Ball in there, Trae Young, and Jalen Green, who we just talked about, averaging 27.6 points per game. And there he is, Cam Thomas, sitting just below him at 27.4. So we've got Luka down there. He'll probably come up a bit. I think majority of those names are probably going to stick in that discussion. It's potentially Jokic who falls off a little bit, maybe Anthony Davis, maybe Jalen Green as well. Looking sort of on brand there. Over to rebounds. Probably not. Well, I don't know. Maybe some people did have him has a bit of a dark or a smoky, whatever we want to call it, for rebounds. And that's Ivica Zubats. He's leading the league with 13.2. And I think there's a chance he sticks there. I mean, if the minutes hover at 35, which is what he's at the moment, he'll certainly be in that discussion because there is no one on that team that can rebound. Jakob Poeltl is second with 12.6, probably not, again, not someone we had in that discussion. Andre Drummond, someone we absolutely had in the discussion, at least while Embiid is out, he is averaging 12.5. He will fall off, obviously, when Embiid returns. Shingun's at 12.4. Jokic, he's there. Anthony Davis, yes. DeAndre Ayton, yes. Nick Richards, one of the more surprising players this season. He's ranked 40th at the moment, averaging 13.5 points, 11.8 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks. So maybe they don't need Mark Williams. Who knows? But he will fall off, obviously, if Mark Williams returns ever. Then we've got Giannis, Kat, Gobert, so all your usual guys there. And Jalen Johnson sitting at 11 rebounds a game. Probably going to fall off, but really good to see if you drafted him for his rebounds. And not out of position because he is a power forward, but he is in a center, which is typically where you get a lot of those rebounds. Onto the assists, James Harden at the top, no surprise, with 11.6, tied with Trae Young. DeJounte Murray is third with 10, but he's obviously out for another month. Ja Morant sitting at 9.4. Jokic, Dennis Schroeder, the surprising Dennis Schroeder, who is the 18th ranked player. Am I looking at? I think it's 9 cap I'm looking at. Schroeder's averaging 24.6 points, 8.2 assists, 4.23, shooting 55% from the field. It's going to come down, but enjoy it while he's rolling. Chris Paul is there, De'Aaron Fox, Cade Cunningham, Tyus Jones, LaMelo Ball. So these are all guys that we expected to see up in the top area when it comes to assists. Over to steals, and we've talked about this, and I think a few analysts have. Jordan Poole leading the league with 3 steals a game, almost certainly going to come down. I don't think he's in the discussion for steals leader, but who knows? Maybe we could be wrong. Dyson Daniels at 2.8. I did have him as a potential league leader in this category. Kayson Wallace is at 2.5, a really good streaming option. Then we've got Shea, Jimmy Butler. CJ McCollum is in there, which is interesting. It's not usually an aspect of his game that we see. Alex Caruso averaging 2.3. He's just looking at his numbers here. So he's averaging 2.3 steals and a block. He's averaging 1.3 points, 3 rebounds, 2.3 assists. So other than his one block, his points are actually his lowest category. That's tough to do. Jalen Suggs, yeah, he's going to be up there. DeMar DeRozan getting 2 steals a game as well. Really nice. PJ Washington, I talked about him and his weird skill set. He is averaging 3.2 combined steals and blocks so far, which is good to see. Good to see. On to the blocks category. No surprise, we've got Chet at the top with Wemby. I still feel like Wemby will get him, especially once Hartenstein comes back. But Chet currently averaging 3.5. Wemby 3.2, Brooke Lopez 2.6, Walker Kessler 2.6, Alex Saar 2.5, and this is why you drafted him. 6.3 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, doing what we wanted. Shooting under 30% from the field is less than ideal, but the blocks are really encouraging. Nick Richards, I mentioned him, he's averaging 2.5. Evan Mobley, who is the 15th ranked player at the moment, averaging 2 blocks to go with his 1.2 steals, 19.2 points, 8.2 rebounds. So the breakout is here, it appears. Then we've got Miles Turner, Anthony Davis, Donovan Klingon's there, Eves Missy, Jeremy Grant, who for some reason is deciding to play defense, which he hasn't done for a couple of years, but if you drafted him, yeah, enjoy that. And 3-pointers, last category I'll do, and then we'll jump out of here. We've hit the half-hour mark. 3-pointers, Anthony Edwards is really making a concerted effort to to score from the perimeter. He's at 5.5 three-pointers per game. Jordan Poole is at 5. Buddy Hield, who we know has been on a bit of a heater, he's at 4.8. LaMelo at 4.8. Then we've got Peyton Pritchard, who we talked about yesterday as someone who you probably need to pick up, given what we've seen so far. Tatum at 4.6, Jalen Green, Dennis Schroeder, Tyler Herro. Then we've got Klay Thompson. And strangely, yeah, no Steph in there. Steph is down at, what have we got? 13th, I think, at 3.7. So you feel like he'll just creep his way up as the other guys fall off and probably end up a top fiver. Maybe he doesn't lead the league in threes. We will see. But he is obviously out as well at the moment with an injury. That will do for today's show. Let me just actually have a look at how many games we do have tomorrow. Okay, we have on Friday, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 9. So a lot more to talk about tomorrow. And then we've got, I think we've got a few heavy sort of scheduled or heavy days because Tuesday, I believe next week, is there are no games because of the election, I would assume. So no games next Tuesday. I think it's bookended by two really heavy slates. So there's going to be obviously no show on the Tuesday, but two lengthy, potentially lengthy shows either side of that. So thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. I am Adam King. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.